The Old Testament reading for the last Sunday of the church year is from Isaiah chapter 51. Give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out for me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, and look at the earth beneath, for the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Jude. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority, before all time, and now and forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the Alleluia in verse. The sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. Amen. Judgment. Our world doesn't like judgment. It hates it and even fears it. Many places proudly label themselves judgment-free zones, where people are encouraged to speak freely without repercussions, no matter how silly, uninformed, or selfish they may reveal themselves to be. Perhaps Matthew 7, verse 1 is among the favorite verses of the world. Judge not, that you be not judged. Taking the role of judge for themselves, they are pleased to tell Christians, see, Jesus says, judge not or else. You can't tell me what's right or wrong. You Christians should read your own Bible. And yet, they ought to read these verses themselves. For as Christ our Lord says these words, he calls on his hearers not to live like the Pharisees, who use a false standard and compare themselves with others to call themselves righteous. Rather, his disciples are to recognize their own sin, to recognize that they too are sinners who will be judged. He continues in the following verse, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He does not deny the judgment so that people may say, hey, you're not perfect yourself. Don't you tell me what to do. Rather, he calls on all to remember their sins. If they despise mercy, then they will not receive it. But one thing remains certain. Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. God's judgment is bad news to the world which rejects him. It may sound like bad news to our ears too. As Christians, we of all people who hear God's word know that we have fallen short of God's commands. When God speaks of judgment, however, he speaks of it as a comfort. As we read from his prophet Isaiah, give attention to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation, for a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Such words are unexpected in a world which would rather receive insincere praise than the slightest criticism. How can God call his justice a light to the peoples? How is it that the coastlands, which his word is yet to reach, hope and wait for his arm of judgment? The world does not understand this. Despite the fact that God says, my justice, my righteousness, my salvation, and my arms, some will try to explain this by saying that justice is what we do, that we are God's justice and light, and that we bring salvation to the peoples by giving them food, drink, and companionship. It is all too close to saying that we are God. This builds a life of anxiety. If you believe that the salvation God offers is the acts of mercy and kindness you perform, you will never do enough, nor will you even know if you are doing the right thing. There will always be more that could have been done, more people still in need. You will neither save others nor yourself. But the problem with this kind of thinking is deeper than impacting our mental health. It denies God's judgment and encourages distrust in God's word. It says that salvation is simply making life on earth more comfortable, a lower cost of living, a house without stairs, a judgment-free zone. Many churches have devoted themselves to the false teaching that the church is primarily meant to be a charitable service organization, winning hearts and minds through kind words and actions. They teach that to go to heaven, you must live a good and respectable life. You must deserve it by whatever standard they decide to measure that. For many, belief in God is optional. They make the point, which is not incorrect, that if you need the threat of hell to be a good person, you're not a very good person at all. But whether God is part of the picture or not, these groups all teach the same two things. First, that how you've lived your life will determine whether you enter heaven or not, if there even is a heaven. And second, they teach that there is no judgment for sins. For truly, if there is no judgment, if there is no wrath from a righteous God who cannot ignore any sin, no matter how much you pile up kind thoughts, words, and deeds on top of them, then there is no need for a Savior. If our sins could be erased by a simple change of heart whose intentions are put into action, then Christ's death accomplished nothing. And indeed, many teach just that, believing that God could never be harsh or judgmental, but only pleasant and placid. These people teach the centuries-old lie that Christ's death was simply an inspiring act of love, teaching us how to live a better life. They grant that he was a good man, who was a good moral influence, a good example, which is to say, they grant nothing. Joining hands with atheists, Muslims, and all who reject and despise God's word, they recognize that they all believe the same thing. That ultimately, if all Jesus did was show us how to love, then his death wasn't too important, as long as you imitate what you think his life looked like. And it matters even less whether or not he rose again. The Apostle Paul writes, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied." They respond, "That's not important. We don't care." Brothers and sisters in Christ, if there is no judgment, then the cross is meaningless. A God who sends his Son to die, not because it wins our salvation, but only to tell us, love each other self-sacrificially, is not a loving and non-judgmental God, but a sadist. To deny God's judgment, but to nonetheless believe that he grants us heaven if we act kindly, is to pick and choose what we want to believe in, to write our own scripture, as it were. Many ignore portions of scripture, condoning sin in the name of harmony. And this false scripture they create is a trap. It is a road to abandoning faith in Jesus Christ. For if you do not take God at his word when he speaks of judgment, how can you take him at his word when he promises the forgiveness of sins? If you believe that you do not have a deadly illness, how will you seek the medical attention you need? If you believe that you are not a poor, miserable sinner, how can you accept that Jesus wishes to be your Savior? Beloved in the Lord, do not fall victim to the treacherous lie that salvation is in your hands or that you do not need to be saved at all. No, it is not a pleasant thing when we hear that we are sinful, lost, and condemned. And indeed, if we look truthfully and honestly even at this past week, we know that we are sinful, lost, and condemned. But only by being shown by God's word that we are sinners do we know from the same word to ask for the forgiveness God is always ready to offer, to trust in his promises to us. God does not threaten judgment because he wants to judge, but because he wants to forgive. His law does not remind us that we are sinners so that we feel bad, but so that we never forget the great gift of the identity he so graciously gives us in Christ Jesus alone. Forgiven sinners, saints. Those who deny the judgment do not trust God's word, but only their own imaginations. And by denying his justice, they also deny his mercy. By avoiding the problem, they avoid the solution, stifling the church's witness to God's gracious and merciful offer to forgive all sins through Christ Jesus. Yet, God says through Isaiah, "The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait." The good news of salvation must be spread. For the mission of the church is not to build comfortable lives here on earth. It is to proclaim the repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Hence, Jude writes in our epistle that we should proclaim the gospel because there is a judgment. He writes, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. This life is short. Its pleasures will fade. The future we hope for is beyond this life." Through Isaiah, God points us to our true goal at the end of today's text. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke, the earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed." We begin to see then why God speaks of his judgment as he comforts Israel. For Christians, the final judgment is not about shame or embarrassment or punishment. For we who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ's righteousness. God is just and merciful. He must destroy what was corrupted by humanity's fall into sin, but through Jesus Christ, on whom his hammer of justice fell, he rescues and restores all baptized believers in him. Beloved in the Lord, having been made a child of God, you have received the greatest and happiest exchange in the history of the world. Christ willingly received the punishment for your sins. You received his righteousness. Christ's return for judgment, then, is not a day to fear, but a day to hope for. It is the long-awaited, joyous day when we finally receive in full God's promises of salvation and eternal life. An old jazz song unknowingly echoes the words God speaks through Isaiah. "In time the Rockies may crumble, Gibraltar may tumble, they're only made of clay, but our love is here to stay." Indeed, this life is finite. Our societies and economies will not last forever. Unless Jesus returns first, our bodies will also wither away and we will die. Even the romances Nat King Cole so famously sang about have their end. All these things will end, but the word of the Lord endures forever. God's love is here to stay. His promises are certain. So then, dear Christian, God's coming judgment is not bad news for you, but good news. What was once the worst news has become for us the best news. For on the last day, God's promises will be fulfilled. The Holy Spirit will raise all the dead and give eternal life to you and all believers in Christ. Rejoice then, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, for God's righteousness draws near and his salvation has gone out. Though this world will pass away, these promises of God to you, his beloved child, are forever. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.